All right, next week, a life worth learning about will be the subject of a new documentary premiering at the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History on the Fayetteville Square. The Lover's Cup central figure is Dr. Philip Trapp of Fayetteville, a World War II veteran, author, academic, and legendary figure in the University of Arkansas Department of Psychological Science. The Lover's Cup director, Kimberly Relier-Guin, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio yesterday. She says her film concentrates on his World War II experiences.
He went in as a Navy officer. He's what they called back then a 90-day wonder. And what that means is what normally took 3 years in Annapolis, 3 to 4 years to train, they were so desperate for well-trained officers, they trained him in 90 days. It was very intense training. So he went in as a Navy officer at age 21. And yeah, that he became a wave commander. He was basically in the amphibious corps, which today I think is the equivalent of like the Marine, the Navy SEALs,
right.
The Navy SEALs, correct. And so he was in the most dangerous of the branch, the most dangerous branch. And he actually was as a wave commander, took the troops into Iwo Jima and dropped them off.
And is it true he saw the flag? The iconic flag raising on Iwo Jima?
Yes, Dr. Trapp saw the flag being raised on Iwo Jima. And there's not many people left that can you will be able to meet and say that.
He's 95 years old.
Yes, he is.
How many times did you meet with him for this film, The Lover's Cup?
I met with Dr. Trapp probably at least 10 times over the course of 2 years. Because this is such a huge subject, it required a lot of research. And I wanted for him to tell the story. I didn't want to use a narrator. I wanted it to be in his words. So that's why I met with him several times and we did lots of interviews so that I could edit each of his sound bites to create the story.
You can't get his whole life in this film, obviously.
No.
Because he's an academic and so many things.
Yes, he has so much. I decided to use World War II as the vehicle to tell this character-driven story. Because he's an incredible man. He's one of the greatest people I've ever known. And I feel so blessed to have had the opportunity to meet him and build this relationship. He's truly one of the most compassionate people you will ever meet. But also, he is such an optimist. I mean, he literally, after the war, he gave up his Navy whites. He gave up everything except one item because he went on to get his PhD in psychology so he could dedicate his life to helping people that had suffered from the war. And back then, of course, we didn't have PTSD, but he knew there were at least over 500,000 neuropsychiatric cases, and he wanted to help people. And he dedicated his life to doing that.
We don't want to give too much away about the film, but that desire to help is the inspiration for the title, The Lover's Cup.
That's correct. Well, yes, another interesting thing about Dr. Trapp is he was one of the first Americans that got to go into Tokyo after the peace treaty signing. And he had the ship's Jeep, and he was able to go. He actually went to a Tokyo university, and because he was a college student, and he wanted to check it out, and he actually met a professor. She was a Japanese mother of two, and she'd received her PhD in English from Berkeley. So this is in 1945, which is pretty incredible. And he met her at the university, and she and her two daughters were starving. I mean, Tokyo was destroyed.
And this is just months or weeks after the devastation of Japan felt from
exactly,
the bombs.
Exactly. So he met this mother and her two daughters, and her husband, ironically, had been killed. He was, I think, in the Japanese Air Force, and he had been killed. So anyway, they struck up this relationship, and he said, I'm going to help you. So he took food. He brought her food every day for she and her daughters for the duration of him being there in Japan and fed, you know, made sure they had plenty to eat. And then on the last day, she gave them this special gift. And to find out more about that, you'll have to come see the film.
He has this legacy, too, of making sure that professionals get more education? I mean, he helped the legislation in Arkansas that required continuing education for people.
Yes, he did. And he also, he was one of the forerunners for the University of Arkansas that helped with the diversity in the athletics. And I'm not an expert on that, so I have read all, and I've helped edit some of his memoirs, part of his memoirs, but he really had the courage to stand up for what was right, and not just here at the University of Arkansas, but actually throughout the country. He did a lot of good things.
Though not a Fayetteville or Arkansas native, he's lived here since the early 1950s, right?
Yes, yes. He was one of the, he helped found the Department of Psychology here at the University of Arkansas.
Were you ever overwhelmed? Because how long is your film?
My film is 55 minutes, which is a pretty long film, especially for a grad student to do on their own.
Still, were you ever overwhelmed with trying? Was it ever frustrating to figure out what wasn't going to make it in that 55 minutes about Dr. Trapp's life?
One of the most challenging things making a documentary film is figuring out what to cut, because there is so much. And I would have loved to have done a 2-hour film on his life, but of course, you know, with the advice of my professors, I couldn't do that. And I probably could have cut a little bit more out of this. But I chose to focus on World War II.
Sure.
Because I felt that was a pretty powerful vehicle to tell a story.
Do you think you're more optimistic because you've met him and spent time with him?
I am definitely more optimistic because of him. I've talked to some of his friends and colleagues in this process, inviting them, and they all say the same thing. Honestly, he uses the analogy of a kaleidoscope, that, you know, if you're having a hard time, you know, you look in the kaleidoscope and it looks a certain way, and all you have to do is just shake it up and look, and it's a completely different picture. And I think that is so true. And one of the best things that I want to share real quickly is that he's shared a lot with others, is that he, and it's really a pivotal moment in the film, but he talks about how when he landed, when they were landing at Iwo Jima, he felt the same intense anxiety as he had when he was walking across campus as a college student in Ohio, getting ready to take a history exam. And he said to himself, I mean, here he was, possibly minutes from losing his life, and he said to himself, if I ever make it out of this war, I will never allow myself to get overly stressed in situations that just don't matter. And that's one of the great things that came out of the war for him, is he was able, it gave him perspective. So for the rest of his life, when things were critical or he, you know, things piled up or he felt really stressed, he was able to ask himself, well, hey, would you rather be doing this or would you rather be landing troops in Iwo Jima? And that was a powerful analogy, and it's something that has helped me a lot. I'm often reminded of that. I hear his voice in my head whenever I get overly stressed or anxious.
Kimberly Relier-Guin's film, The Lover's Cup, will be shown Tuesday night beginning at 6 at the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. The screening is free and open to the public.